Welcome to the Best Hopes Podcast. I am Adam Froer.
And I'm Cecil Walker.
And in this podcast, we slowly walk through all things hope related. And today we're going to go back to something that we talked a little bit about before, but we're really going to kind of go into depth with it this time. And in one of the very early episodes of season one for this podcast, we talked about the idea of shooting for the stars, of like aiming as high as you possibly can. And we really talked about, like, when we talk about best hopes, that is like the highest hope that you could possibly hope for. And in that episode last season, we talked about how some people might say there's foolishness in shooting too high or for having false hope. And so we're going to go back to this idea and talk about, like, is there such a thing as false hope? Is it foolhardy to shoot for the stars, to shoot as high as you can shoot? And so, Cecil, as we start this endeavor, if I say to you, is that a bad thing? Is shooting too high problematic? Could it cause people harm? Could it maybe do some damage that's irreparable? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, in my personal opinion, it's a flat no.
That's so definitive.
I think that is my opinion. I don't see detriment in having hope, in feeling aspirational, especially just in the sense of like wanting these desirable things for yourself, wanting a desirable future, wanting certain accomplishments, wanting to be a certain kind of a person. I feel like not only is that kind of human nature, but that's like a necessary ingredient in doing these big things and doing these desirable things. So I don't see really the argument for how that's a bad thing or a foolish thing, or somehow that will set you back in some way or have some type of a consequence. And I'm willing to accept, maybe I'm just hopelessly optimistic or not looking at the picture as clearly as I should. But yeah, like you said, I guess that's my definitive opinion.
So let me just ask one more, like, kind of devil's advocate kind of question. What if somebody says, okay, like, I had hope that I was gonna like accomplish this amazing thing. I put in all of this energy and effort. Like, maybe I want to be a movie star, mm-hmm. right? And I work for it, and I go to all these tryouts, and time and time and time again, I get the no, you're not good enough, you're too short, that's probably what people would say to me. You know, like,
you get,
that's true. I think I am about the same height as Tom Cruise. I think he can run faster than you, though. But time and time and time again, I just get nope, you're not right for this. And then I get to a place where I like start to have mental health concerns, or I start to feel depressed, or start to feel like I'm never going to make it in Hollywood or whatever. Couldn't you hear that scenario and be like, yeah, you should not have set your heights that high. You shouldn't have put all that energy into that thing, because it's almost unattainable. Almost no one makes it.
No, that's not even, still not convincing to me.
Here we are, back to definitive answers.
I'm open to being wrong, as always. But I think life, regardless, has disappointments or moments of, I didn't get what I wanted. That's just the way that life works. And I think that's inevitably going to show up along the way. I don't think that necessarily means, you know, the path that you took was a foolish one or a one that you shouldn't have taken in the first place. I think that's to be expected. There's going to be cloudy days and some weather that you'd rather not have. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't live in the place that you live, or that you shouldn't have gone outside that day or something like that. I also would say at the same time that you wouldn't have gotten to where you had gotten, even if it wasn't as far as you wanted or containing all the specifics that you wanted. Whatever distance you went, whatever things you accomplished, whatever version of yourself you were able to attain, you wouldn't have gotten close to that if you weren't of the mindset that you had of, I'm shooting for this thing. You're training for a marathon
where you want to run a mile in under 9 minutes or something like that. Is that comical?
No, it's not comical. I mean, it shouldn't be comical, but I am a slow runner, so it was nice of you to say 9 minutes instead of like four. That was nice.
I was trying to go for like the average. I can't do under four. Last time I did under six was probably like high school. But yeah, so if you're shooting for, here's the thing I want that under 9 minute mile. Oh, I came up short. My mile was 9.5 minutes. When you started, maybe your mile was like 15 minutes. Who knows, you know, where it was. Maybe you weren't even tracking that thing. You weren't even running. You weren't even getting off of the couch. And so you might be disappointed you didn't get the thing that you wanted. But I think at the same time, you have just as much accessibility to being able to say, look, I'm an under 10 minutes kind of a person. Look, I was somewhere else and now I'm here kind of a person. There's so much you still have access to that you wouldn't have been able to have access to if you had said, I'm a sit on the couch person and I'm never going to be anything else other than that because I don't want the risk of what if I'm not the thing I say I want to be.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. And maybe it wasn't fair that I was asking you all those questions because I did do a little research.
And all the answers and still you hung me out there.
So I do want to just talk a little bit about some of the research as well and like what's out there and what it says. And one of the things that as I was looking for the research and like, is there detriment potentially of like shooting too high or is there such a thing as false hope? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that came back over and over and over is no, not really. So all the research did validate your definitive answer. So I'm a little bit sorry that I gave you a hard time, but not really that sorry. But I wanted to talk a little bit about one of the studies, and it was a study that was done by Reynolds and Baird. And this is a study that was done back in 2010. So it's not like the most recent study, but it's recent enough that I think that the bearing is important. And one of the things that they did is they did this longitudinal study. So a study where they looked at people across a long period of time, the same people over and over and over across time. And one of the things that they did is when they started, they said to all these people who are going to graduate from high school, how much education do you want to obtain? And some people said, I want to go no further. Other people said, I want to get an associate's degree, maybe a bachelor's degree, all the way up to, I want to go to some kind of graduate school. And then over time, they tracked what was their original answer, how close to their original answer did they get, or how far away from their original answer did they get. And one of the things that they kind of hypothesized is that people who expected to go really, really far in school, to do a lot of postgraduate school, that if they didn't do it, they would be disappointed in some way. They would be let down. They would feel like some kind of guilt or shame associated with that. And one of the things that they discovered is that's not true. They did not, those people who shot really high but didn't achieve that, mm-hmm. did not feel disappointed. They did not feel mm-hmm. regret. And in fact, one of the things that they talked a lot about was kind of there were stumbling blocks in the way or there were roadblocks or things kind of prevented them from achieving what they wanted. But having that vision of I want to accomplish a whole lot helped them to pivot or to reorient and to say, okay, well, I guess if school is not going to be the thing right now, I guess I'll go do this instead, or I want to accomplish this along the way. And they kind of continually kept pivoting and rotating. And therefore, it helped them really build resilience instead of regret or remorse about not having made it. And then one of the things that they talked about is that in addition to that, we live in this culture, this climate, where the American dream is really valued. And they said, one of the things that they hypothesized around why it wasn't really detrimental to people is because we live in this culture of the American dream, then just the attempt, just the effort or the energy that you put in to accomplish something, that's valued and validated. And they would say people along the way who had these high hopes and dreams, they put in a lot of effort and a lot of energy. And that was rewarded by people around them. They were like, you're trying so hard. You're achieving so much. Look at how you pivoted in this way. And that in and of itself kind of overcame or overshadowed any regret or remorse that might have developed along the way. The final thing that I thought was really interesting about what they talked about is that the only thing that seemed detrimental wasn't for people who shot too high, but it was for people who shot too low. If they shot low and they were like, I'm not going to go on to get any more education, or I'm going to get on just get a little bit of education, one of the things that ended up happening is that their vision was really narrow. They didn't really work that hard to accomplish much. They found it difficult to make those pivots if something got in the way. They were the ones who kind of felt like life isn't really that fulfilling because things keep falling through or things aren't going the way that I wish they would go. And so the authors of that study really concluded shooting too high is actually a really good thing. It's a beneficial thing. It gets rewarded, whereas shooting too low really limits your perspective, really limits your accomplishments, and therefore the regret, the remorse, that's when it's present. As you hear about that study and the findings, what thoughts or impressions do you have about that?
Well, first that I was right.
But do you say so myself?
They could have called me. I would have saved them. Apparently a longitudinal amount of time.
It makes sense because I feel like there's so many factors at play when you are living with this mindset. Here's what I want to accomplish. Here's the target that I'm shooting for. And those things, I think, promote you in that direction or in some type of satisfactory direction in ways that having no target or just saying whatever happens, happens, and I'll just have that be my life. I'll have that be my outcome. Because I think you, just like you mentioned, you kept saying vision a lot. Like the things you see, the way that you define what's happening around you, the meaning you're making out of things starts to become much more, I don't know, it's like gravitationally pulled toward the things that you are saying are important to you. If you want to be this certain kind of a person, you want to attain this amount of education or have this type of a life, you start to see the world in those terms, I think. You start to see more of those opportunities. And you start to already feel like there's this ongoing fire that I have to fuel my efforts for those things. But if I don't have that fire, if I don't have the way to see the world around me in those kinds of terms, things fly by me and I feel like they don't land in my lap or happen at my face, that, you know, life's life and it's just what it is. I feel like I'd be much more unsatisfied with that type of life. And I'd have less to say I've accomplished or to say that, you know, I'm happy with and proud of. So I do feel like this speaks a lot to, you know, how hopefulness and having these types of things in mind can really reorient things in a direction that is actually pretty positive, pretty attainable for you. And I think it also highlights that it doesn't, I guess the crudest way to say, that like the target itself doesn't even really matter. For lots of the things that you said, I mean, that seems to be kind of what's clear. It's even if you said you wanted this big lofty outcome and you don't get that, just like I was saying earlier, you still have made your way through this journey in a way that was much better than if you didn't have that kind of a aspiration for where you were going. And I think all of us have some type of experience with that, because if we say we want something, even when we get to that place, like that target is always moving. We're changing the day that comes. It used to be I'm looking a year from now, but when that year shows up and I'm standing in that place, what I want has changed. Maybe I feel like I've gotten that thing or I've learned more about that thing and now it's less of what I want. I want something else. Maybe I've evolved into there's something more valuable for me here and at this time. I think what I specifically remember with my own experience is when I was younger, being the seventh of eight children, I remembered saying, I want to live a life where I have a lot of independence. I make choices that I'm happy with. I get to define my life and live my life the way that I want to live it. And I want to be comfortable and happy. And that sounds very simple, but I remember that being a big anchor of the things that I wanted. And I actually found that I attained that pretty quickly, pretty easily. I finished college and then I was just happy. I was just, life was easy. Life was going well. And that updated. I didn't feel like I was done, that the target was accomplished and now, you know, the video game is over or something like that. I felt like it had to evolve into, well, how do I want to use this comfort now? What do I do with now that I'm in this place? And that gave me a new target. That shifted me somewhere else. I want to use this comfort to make the most of it, to do good for other people, to attain things that people who don't have this comfort wouldn't have the luxury of attaining. And so that allows me to now still stay in this gear of I'm going somewhere, I'm doing something, and it's for a reason and with purpose. And I can live my life under those kinds of circumstances and in those terms. But it didn't specifically matter that this target was now a different target than where I was before, because I think I was still riding on the same kind of motivation and fuel that I was before. So that's a lot of words about a lot of things, but I think it all speaks to the same thing, that outcome in and of its specific self doesn't necessarily matter. It's the I have hope for something that is what matters.
Yeah, a couple of things really stood out to me about what you said, and I think I'm going to link it back a little bit to the work that we do and why we call it. We ask our clients at the very beginning, what are your best hopes? And we call what we're doing, we're trying to get at somebody's desired outcome. What's the outcome they're hoping for? And I think when we put it into that language of outcome, that does something, right? Because as I move toward that outcome, one of the things you mentioned in essence was, I might not ever get to that particular outcome. Mm-hmm. But the process of trying to get there, the process of aiming for that, is going to get me somewhere. And I'm going to develop skills because I've moved in that direction. One of the things I really liked about that research, in essence, was it contributes to resilience. Mm. I will inevitably get knocked down in my pursuit of that outcome, of the thing that I'm hoping for. I'll have setbacks. There will be roadblocks in the way. There will be things I have to overcome, and maybe some things I can't overcome. But trying to pursue that outcome, that hope, is going to change me, the very nature of who I am. Potentially, it's going to make me physically stronger if I have to like work to get there. Potentially, it's going to help me to be more creative if I have to get around these roadblocks. It's going to change the very nature of who I am simply by pursuing it. So the attainment of the outcome isn't as important as the becoming who I become mm-hmm. in the process. And so I think when you put it into that context, all of a sudden hope takes on a different perspective. It's not that I can only have hope if I achieve it, but it's that as I aim for what I'm hoping for, I'm going to become something useful. I'm going to become something meaningful. And so part of, I think, reorienting our perspective around hope is reorienting to, it's not goal attainment, but it's achievement in becoming something valuable, of becoming something meaningful as I shoot for something that might be really outlandish. But simply by shooting really, really high, I'm going to become more than I could have if I shoot really low. So it's not necessarily the attaining something, it's the becoming something that I think hope informs. Mm-hmm. I think that's one thing. Maybe you looked like you had something you want to say.
Oh, no, just in total agreement with what you were saying. It like there is not a shred of conditionality to this premise. And I think that's a good thing, because I think we can very easily, maybe it's because of, you know, just the kind of like goal attainment type of society we live in now, it feels like goals are very, very valuable. And if we can't check that box, that we've not accomplished something. Mm-hmm. But I think all of us have kind of had a glimpse into how it's not really the goal itself that's so valuable. It's the kind of person that we have to be as we're working towards mm-hmm. that goal. That's the real thing that you're accomplishing. And I mean, we've seen that in college. You went to college for like 40 years. You got all the degrees. But every time you got that next piece of paper that said you finished this program and you have this knowledge and you are this thing, that literal piece of paper and that moment at the end, it can feel very good and self-accomplished. But that paper itself doesn't do anything or doesn't really mean anything in and of itself. It's all of the years and hours and nights that you put in along the way. It's the what do you have to do and sacrifice and work on? Who do you have to become? What kinds of strategies did you have to really embed? How did you have to make decisions and think and all of that? It's who you had to be along the way in order to attain that thing that makes that thing what it is. Whatever value that thing has, that piece of paper, that end goal, it's really just encapsulating, look at the kind of person who does this stuff, who could have made it through this. My thoughts were just, yes, totally right.
Yeah. One of the other things that it made me think of was going back to one of the questions I asked you before of like, isn't it possible that it could have a detrimental impact on me or those kinds of things? And I think, I want to leave open the door of like, sure, it could. Like if I aim really high, I don't achieve it, it could potentially make me feel bad. But I don't think that that necessarily means that my hope was too high. It means potentially that I was focused on the wrong thing. I was focused on the end result, like you said, the box that gets checked, instead of who do I become or who am I becoming along the way. And one of the other things that reminded me of another study, and we'll put these studies in the end notes of the set of the podcast, but in 2019, so a much more recent article, there was a guy, and I'm probably going to butcher their name, but Mushchenga, and he asked the question of, is there a problem with false hope? And he really related it back to, in essence, reality. If I have high hope, am I disconnected from reality? And one of the things that they found over and over and over is that people who have high hope do not have a distorted sense of reality. They're very acquainted with what's real. And what that means is they understand I have to work really hard to overcome these challenges, these difficulties. But it was the people with low hope that actually had a distortion of reality. They were not seeing possibilities that were in fact present. And you can think about that, right? You put like 100 people in a line, and if you line them up from like the least amount of hope to the highest amount of hope, the people with the highest amount of hope, they're going to see a bunch of possibilities. They're going to see like, I could do this, or if we work together, we could accomplish this. Or if we did this, that might occur. And all of those things are legitimate, right? They might not actually achieve them, but they are possible. But the people who are at the very bottom of the low hope, and they say, well, nothing's possible. This is my lap forever. Nothing could change. That actually is a distortion of reality. We know change is always happening. And that if we harness change, if we really work hard, if we pool resources, if we get access to support from other people, if we, you know, all of those kinds of things could change, circumstances could change. And so it's the people at the bottom who are saying, like, nothing's worth hoping for. That's actually a distortion of reality. And I think that there's real implications of that. Because in essence, what that means is hope is always possible. But it's up to us to choose it, to see it, to pursue it, to say it's worth looking for. And I think that is a kind of a new twist on sometimes we think it's harmful to shoot too high, where in reality it might be actually more harmful not to shoot high enough.
Yeah, I think, and we were always having conversations kind of based on this premise, but I very much believe that, you know, your reality is what you see in reality, and it is what you believe it to be. If you think you are in a terrible circumstance and there's no hope for getting to something better, it doesn't matter if that's true or not, but that's how the situation is going to continue to be. And that's definitely the effect the situation is going to have on you, and that's probably the course that you're going to see it play out as well. But if you still being in a very bad situation somehow have hope or feel like there are possibilities, I think you are now in a different situation than someone with exactly the same circumstances who believes otherwise, or who has a lack of belief, I guess, in the possibilities. And that's not a blame to be placed on, you know, victims of circumstance. I think it's actually an empowering feature of all of us in the situations that we're in, is that there's a way to, I want to use the word believe, but I think that's only, you know, a fraction of the ways of defining this. But sure, there's a way to believe in yourself, in this context that you're in the possibilities of things, in all sorts of things that will allow you to be capable of more, to have access to more, to see more happen that you wouldn't have access to if you, you know, for to keep with the same language, you didn't believe, if you weren't open to those kinds of possibilities. And so I think it's actually a disservice we might do to ourselves and maybe even to other people should we like try to get in the way of their hope, where we kind of limit, you know, what's possible for people just by saying you shouldn't reach for what's possible. You shouldn't think about those things as possibilities. I think it gets dressed up in the language of being realistic. But I think what that really means is like roll back the hope that you see here. Right? Pull back on how opportunistic you're trying to be about things being better than you might have thought they were before.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the other things that kind of comes as I think about that is, and I really like your emphasis on like reality really is the way you see it.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that is impacted by that is also reality has an impact on how I feel or the emotions that I have.
Yeah.
And so again, kind of thinking about all those people lined up in a line, the people at the bottom who have very little hope, who are not seeing the possibilities that are out there, they're probably also having a very low affect. They're probably sad or depressed or like wallowing in like, look how hard life is. And simply by saying, if you just move up in hope, if you just start trying to see possibilities that are out there, one of the byproducts of that is you change the way you feel. You become a happier person. You become a more fulfilled person. You become a more grateful person. And those feelings, those affects that come as a result of hope are really valuable in and of themselves, but then also kind of perpetuate the movement. Mm-hmm. If I feel happy, if I feel like there's something worth expecting, then my hope goes up and then I start to see more possibilities. And so it almost becomes, no matter where you are, this self-fulfilling prophecy of if you're a low hope person and you're saying there are no options here, you don't look for options. And so that becomes the self-fulfilling prophecy. If you're sitting in a place of hopefulness and you see possibilities and you strive for those, maybe some of them you obtain. And so then you start saying, if I can attain this, what happens if I look even farther down the road? And so I think that self-propulsion becomes part of reality. And again, I think about just the impact of if you can increase hope just a bit, and that increases happiness, that increases satisfaction, that increases, it changes my experience of the world. So it doesn't even matter if I, again, obtain the end result. Mm-hmm. But if in the meantime, I pick up happiness, satisfaction, joy, you know, excitement, that's better than where I was previously.
Yeah.
And so I think linking hope to feelings and affect, it's very easy then to see why taking a hopeful perspective would be a good thing in the long run.
Yeah, it's a bit of a hack, I think, you know, because like I said earlier, if it's not built on conditionality, then a disappointment down the road, a roadblock, a hardship, whatever, can't stifle that. So if it works to make you feel better and get you somewhere now, if you get somewhere further along the way and you don't get quite the outcome that you want, it still won't take away the effect that it could have. You could still have hope in how do I go somewhere else from here? I used to get so confused and annoyed when my grandmother would say all these crazy sayings all the time. But one of the things she used to say a lot was, you know, if the world didn't give it to you, the world can't take it away. And I think if you have this sense of hopefulness for yourself and for where you're going, and that comes from just a belief in this is possible, and it doesn't really have to, you know, have this concrete conditionality on here's what in reality is telling me, you know, this person said I could, or this situation doesn't seem that bad, so that's why I can get somewhere better. If it's not steeped in that, and it's instead steeped in hopefulness and anything else you want to attach to that, you can still have that as a source somewhere down the line too, whether things get better or worse, whether something big comes your way or something really hard comes your way.
Yeah. And one of the things you actually then reminded me of in looking through all of the research about hope and hopefulness and all of those kinds of things, there was only one study I could find where they even intimated that false hope might be a thing. And they called it false hope syndrome. Mm-hmm. And it's a study that was written by, I hope I say their name right, Pavlovy and Herman. And one of the things that they said is, false hope is really kind of like they connected it back again to reality and like how I'm looking at the world. And they said in some sense, the false hope is really a cognitive distortion. You are not seeing what other people are seeing. You're not thinking the way other people are thinking. You're not believing what other people are believing. And so again, false hope syndrome isn't, again, shooting too high. It's about not seeing what other people are seeing, what's possible out there. And so in all of this research, it just points over and over and again, shoot for the stars, aim as high as you can. You will inevitably hit detours. You'll inevitably hit challenges and difficulties, but the resilience that you build up, the positivity that you gain, the emotional boost that you get, all of that will be beneficial to you. And only if you're sitting in a place of not seeing what other people are seeing is that detrimental to you. And I think there's something really powerful about knowing, if I can simply gain enough courage to say, I'm just going to aim as high as I can, that can literally change who I become. It's going to require me overcoming fear. It's going to require me overcoming doubt. And again, those, I think, are those cognitions that get in the way. But those aren't real. Those are limiting factors that might get in my way of achieving what I could possibly achieve.
Uh-huh.
And so I think in our own lives, we can see the value of hope. In working with our clients, we can see the value in working with hope. And in all of the research we can find, it just keeps coming back to be hopeful. Aim as high as you possibly can. Achieve as much as you can. That's where life will be satisfying.
Yeah. All of that to me sounds like it says we shouldn't be afraid of hoping for something big and not quite getting there. We should be much more afraid of just never having given ourselves a chance to be the kind of person that clearly we might have been able to be just in moving along this path with that kind of hope, with that kind of I'd like to be or I'd like to do such and such things.
Yeah. Anything else that we didn't get to that we should have gotten to?
No, I mean, the research proved me right. So I think.
What more is there then?
All good.
Well, that's perfect. Well, hopefully each of you listening now will see the value in shooting high, aiming as high as you possibly can. And what we would ask is if you know somebody who would benefit from hearing this kind of message of aim high, don't get bogged down in what isn't possible. Please share this podcast with them. We would really appreciate it. It makes a big difference to us. But in the meantime, go out there and aim as high as you possibly can and become what you think might be possible, and it'll pay off.